Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. As Sean mentioned, in a few moments, we'll share the bread and the cup to celebrate the death of Jesus, but even more so, the victory of the resurrection of Jesus. If you've not received your communion, just raise your hand. I'm sure one of the ushers can get the communion to you, and we'll be taking this together in just a few moments. My name is Marcus Overstreet, and this is my wife, Amy Overstreet. It's good to be with you. We both serve as ministers of the gospel in Orlando, Florida.
It's really wonderful to be able to commune with you this morning. In the early 80s, I think 1983, my parents came to New York. I was a small child, and shortly after the church was planted, and I was the children's ministry. So they said, come along, class, and I followed along. And so it's really wonderful to be back worshiping with you today.
We'll go to the first slide here for communion. It's been said, missions is when evangelism crosses cultural or geographic boundaries. And I'll say it again, and we'll try to get it up on the screen as well. Missions is when evangelism crosses cultural or geographic boundaries. For most of our lives, Amy and I have lived in the state of Florida. Florida is home for us. But before living in Orlando, Amy and I served as missionaries in Edinburgh, Scotland. And again, it really hit home. I'm not sure if we have the slides for the communion or not. Just wanted to make sure we have that.
Before we go too far.
I don't want to get too far ahead of our wonderful AV crew. Again, if you need communion, you can raise your hand and get that as well. I can proceed. All right. So we did move. We went to Edinburgh, Scotland, and this was before we moved back to Orlando.
There's the quote.
Oh, let's go back to that first one. I want to say this again. We skipped ahead. You guys are wonderful.
Thank you.
Reverse. We'll come back up, start over. Here we go. We have lived most of our lives in the state of Florida. Florida's home for us. But I do want to hit on this point and wanted to show it to you as well, that missions is truly when evangelism crosses both cultural or geographic boundaries. And again, we served as missionaries in Edinburgh, Scotland before we moved recently to Orlando. And we'll go to the next slide now. To move from Florida to Scotland, you definitely could say our family needed to cross some cultural and geographic boundaries. In Florida, we could drive a few hours and get a hug from our extended family and get the love we needed. In Scotland, it took a day of flying and thousands of dollars just to visit our family. In Florida, as you may well know, we enjoyed the warm sunshine almost every day. In Scotland, because of the lack of sun, we lived in a rainy black and white movie all the time. In Florida, I knew how to speak the language, even though I was from the South. I don't know if you can, my accent gives me away this morning. That's in Florida. But in Scotland, they do speak English, but the dialect is so different. It took this Southern kid 6 months just to learn how to properly pronounce the city I lived in. In Florida, the women wear dresses and skirts. In Scotland, the men wear skirts. But we don't call it that. These are called kilts. Don't mess that up. The last person to call this a skirt was kilt. Dad joke. So missions is when evangelism crosses cultural or geographic boundaries. And we returned from the foreign mission field in 2019, and now we have the privilege to assist with Caribbean missions. So I wanted to show you the picture. We were recently in Trinidad.
Yeah.
It's so exciting to be a part of the Caribbean Mission Society. And what's amazing is how, as we cross all these different cultural boundaries, there are similarities and differences. And the obvious black and white movie rainy experience of Edinburgh is not what you experience in the Caribbean. But the feeling of isolation is very similar. And the feeling of being alone, and that it's very difficult to receive encouragement, friendship, camaraderie from other disciples is very similar. And some of you may know that to travel within the different islands is usually very much more expensive than for someone from the islands to get to the United States. So it can be very isolating, even though you look on a map and it looks like, you know, they're a fingernail away from each other. That's just not the reality. And so as much as we've spent so much time in Florida over the years and love all of the Caribbean people that live there, our time in Scotland, I think, helped us to have a heart connection to what they feel and experience in the Caribbean.
And we're so thankful for all of our leaders, church leaders, disciples, brothers and sisters in the Caribbean. Wanted to show the next slide. This is from our trip as well. These are the amazing brothers and sisters that serve the church and build the church, most of them in their spare time after they come home from a full-time job. And very quickly, we've built a great camaraderie with them. Please continue to pray for them. They are making a difference with the gospel of Jesus. Make no mistake, speaking of Jesus, Jesus is the first and foremost missionary on this planet. In John 8, verse 23, Jesus tells us exactly how far he traveled to get to his mission field. John 8, 23 tells us, or Jesus says and instructs us, he says, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." So Jesus had far to go to get to us and to get to his mission field. Jesus crossed extreme cultural and geographic boundaries to seek and save the lost. Can you imagine a greater leap in geography and culture than the one Jesus made for you and me? As a missionary, Jesus exchanged the throne of glory for a feeding trough. Jesus moved from a gated neighborhood with streets of gold to lower class Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Jesus went from being the center of all worship to going virtually unrecognized. As a missionary, Jesus left behind his native language of praise to become a curse on a tree. What a culture shock. But it's the message of the cross that motivates our missionaries in the Caribbean to this day. And it's what motivates all of us. It's all because of Jesus. That's why we're here today. Jesus. Jesus is the reason. Jesus is why we give our lives to the mission. It's why we'll cross any boundary to share the good news. It's only Jesus. It's the message of the cross that places the mission on our minds and our minds on the mission. And Jesus came to earth for the world's greatest rescue mission, to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to seek and save you and me. Don't forget that. Jesus came to seek and save our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, because Jesus crushed sin, because Jesus has an indestructible life, one day, at the sound of his voice, you and I will rise from the grave. Our best days as Christians are right in front of us. Let's pray and celebrate Jesus at this time. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the mission that he has to seek and save the lost. Thank you that Jesus crossed extreme cultural and geographic boundaries because of your great love for us, because you believe in us. Thank you so much that Jesus has a message that resonates as much today as it did 2,000 years ago. Thank you, God, that we have a powerful message, a message that has changed many of our lives and can change the lives of those around us. We're so thankful for Jesus. He is the anchor for our soul. He is our motivation. Thank you so much that we can gather here today and just have great memories together. That's why we're here. That's why we're friends. That's why we're family, because we belong to Jesus, because we follow Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for defeating sin, for defeating death. Thank you that we have hope beyond this life. Thank you so much that this time that we can take the bread and the cup. Thank you for the body of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus sacrificed for us. And we look forward to our resurrection when we can see him face to face. We pray these things only through the name of Jesus. Amen.
And I just want to say thank you from the Caribbean Mission Society. I tell you, you make us want to come back. We will be back to have more meetings here, because if we get treated like this, we're coming back. We're coming. Soon come. That's right. Soon come. Where do you want to go? We're going there, right? We're not going anywhere else. But it is my pleasure to be able to serve in the Caribbean Mission Society and to be able to be with our best friends. And that goes just not just to the Barnes. Of course, Robin, you my sister, because we're Americans baptized in the Caribbean, outnumbered by Caribbean people in our family. And there's something special about that. And what I want to share is that if you're from the Caribbean, then amen. If you're not from the Caribbean, amen. You must have eaten Caribbean food at some time or another, so now you're in the Caribbean. And I've got two people behind me here, one from the Caribbean, one not from the Caribbean, but he's in the Caribbean now, and that's Jeff Hickman. And we're going to share our hearts for the Caribbean, that whether or not you're from there, it is your heart, because God chose it to be that way. And I'm going to share some things, but before I share anything, I have to say thank you, New York City Church, Queens Region, for your sacrifice. Thank you. We're the last mission society to be formed, but New York has never left the Caribbean. It's always supported. There's many things that, now we just been formed in 2017 to be able to get money to go down as from one region, one mission society, and we're the last ones in out of all the mission societies. But the last will be first. Amen. And in so many ways, God's blessing us. God's showing us that heart comes. And New York has that heart that never left. And we appreciate you for that. I want to read a scripture, at least some of the scripture. This is when Paul was going to Asia. He had his heart set on Asia, but yet the Holy Spirit said no. It blocked him a few times about going. And then it says here, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You know, the Holy Spirit has full control. And as Marcus shared about missionaries, you know, God tells you where you need to go and where you need to be. For years, I'm from Boston. I was on the South African mission team for 2 years, and even trying to go to South Africa, I never made it to South Africa. When I came off of that team, because God blocked the door, I moved to the Caribbean. And you know, if you think about this vision was a man from Macedonia. How did he know he was from there? It's probably from how he dressed or how he spoke. You know, many of you that are from the Caribbean remember, you represent that Macedonian call. That's right, yeah. You speak for your nation. Right. Remember when many of your parents came here or you came here, you had the dream of coming here, but then going back or at least sending some money back, sending the barrel back, right? you got to send something back. The Macedonian call. But yet, Are you still there? What the Caribbean needs now is for you to come back home. It needs for you to come back and give. And you give your money now. We need your heart. We need your soul. We need you there. And that's so important because God does that. He has a call. And then if you're not from the Caribbean, you're still called to be able to bring people there. And let me just keep going here. One of the themes that we have is that you just don't go back to your island. We go back as one Caribbean, where we are now striving to be one Caribbean. I know that you love the place that you're from. It's easy if I just said Jamaica right now, Jamaicans would run on up. If I say Haitians to the stage, they'd run on up. And then they'd fight on stage. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. But you know both of them already. They wouldn't fight because they wouldn't understand each other. One speaks French, one speaks English. That's the only reason. But no, they'd come up on stage and you chair your island. And whenever it's mentioned or someone runs a race or whatever it is, you chair for your island. But we need a chair for the whole Caribbean. Amen. We're one Caribbean. The smaller islands that doesn't have representation has to be represented. So we have a thing that we say, we reach every beach. We got to reach every beach. Not just the beach that you came from, but all the beaches out there. And as we do that, I was going to show a video. I don't think the sound is going to go with it. If it doesn't, which it doesn't, we'll skip it. Does that mean, Sean, you got to show that sometime? But let's go back to this. This is the islands that we have reached already. The nations and territories where we reached already. They need your prayers. They need your love. They need to know that you're there. There are 40 million people in the Caribbean. We have 34 churches, and that's including some of the larger churches that have regions and different churches. We're in 13 countries. 3,200 disciples are that Macedonian call. As Marcus shared already, the Caribbean leaders, here's another picture of them. Pray for them. Use your prayer time to pray for a nation. Pray for a leader. They need you to pray for them. You know, many of them that are there are not full-time people. We're in 13 nations, but yet we've been sharing for years that there's been 5 nations that have full-time leadership. So the others are lay leaders coming home every night and preaching and pulling together a church. Imagine you leading your small group in some places and that being a church. So we need to pray for them. And we also have teachers there, the Damien Jean-Baptiste Caribbean School of Ministry. And we have 2 amazing teachers. We have Courtney Bailey from Jamaica, Tyrone Marcus from Trinidad. Invite them over as well. I've told Sean, but have them come do a lesson so you can be connected. You see, it's us going there. It's them coming here. It's a two-way street. But we have some amazing kingdom teachers. And they help train the nations in so many ways. But here's the good part right here. Like I shared earlier, we had 5 nations, but I have some good news because we added another leader, full-time leader in Barbados, a key island. And that's Dwayne and Sega Bly right there. They just moved there. We're helping to support them. That means that there can be a campus ministry there. We need to restore our campus ministries. We have campuses in Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, Bahamas, and we've got to get our campus ministry going again. That's what the CMS is all about. Here's some of our campus leaders and campus students that went to the ICMC, and it's good being able to have a board member like Matt Rupert right here who can help and train. And you know, it takes everything. We've got to get our campuses going again. And what's exciting, as you'll be hearing from one of these gentlemen here, we appointed 4 elders in Jamaica. Yeah. Peter and Sandy Swaby, Craig and Nadine Reynolds, Herman and Stephanie Mackey. We call him Mackey. And then Lewis and Tosin Livingstone. And Lewis is going to come and do offering in a second here. But this is the first elders in the Caribbean as well. That's incredible. It's time to appoint more. It's time to do amazing things. And then the last thing I want to share as I bring it in for landing and then invite Samantha to come on up is we need to be praying for Haiti. It's a humanitarian crisis going on there. And if you don't know about it, find out what's going on. But right now, the brothers and sisters living there are living in a tough situation. Gangs have taken over since the prime minister was assassinated. Gangs have taken over. There's no authority really in the country, and it's at war. Haitians are trying to get out. Those who can get out, get out. They can, if they can. But there are those who stay. That's one of our larger churches. We have close to 1,000 disciples over there. And right now, you know what the need is? Food. Just eating every day because the economy has gone down. And we've been, and Sean and I have been in there sending, you know, money. We've been together with Hope and other churches. We're rallying just to figure out how to feed our brothers and sisters because we're eating fine. So we've got to take care of that need. You can pray for the Timot, Adler and Linda, their children. They had to send their children to New York for education because the educational system is down. I spoke to a brother there, just to give you a quick understanding of where it is. I said, listen, bro, I'm going to be sharing about Haiti. You know, this is back in November. I need some pictures. I said, go outside and take some pictures. And this is what he showed me. This is not downloaded from someone. This is outside his neighborhood. So when we ask for help for Haiti and donations or whatever it may be or however you can help, and how this touch your heart, it's our responsibility to respond. Because there are people. So I lay that on your heart, and you'll be hearing more about that. But you know what's exciting? There's good news from it. You know why? There was someone that was there. This couple, O'Neill and Julie, as you can see, they're getting baptized, but they had to flee Haiti because they lived in Port-au-Prince, and the gang says, we're going to take your house in 3 days. You can decide if you want to stay or go. They moved to Orlando. A long story short, a sister from Haiti heard them speaking Haitian Creole in the supermarket, invited them to church, and they got baptized. A minister. He worked in the ministry and for a nonprofit. So the humility that it took. And now he says, I know why God had me leave. And one day dreams to go back and serve in Haiti. I'm going to give Samantha a chance to be able to share at this time. Come on.
I read a quote recently, and I want to share it. It was in a passage I was reading in a magazine. It says, our purpose is always for something greater than ourselves. Look at nature. Apple trees don't eat their own apples. However, they provide food, shade, and shelter for others. To live with purpose, we must look to see what gifts, talents, and abilities God has given to us and can benefit others in our homes, in our communities, in our regions, or even in the world. So I know some of you guys heard this and you're thinking, nah, I left the Caribbean to get a better life. I am not trying to go back there. You heard go back and you're like, mm-mm. I'm not sending my kids. I'm not trying to do that. You have a purpose. I had been in the United States for 31 years, well, longer, but for 31 years, I hadn't gone back to St. Lucia. But it always been on my heart to go back. I've always wanted to give back something. I just didn't know how. And I know some of you are sitting here going, okay, I hear about these big things. Haiti is overwhelming, and this is overwhelming. And wow, you guys are doing great things. Great. How can I support with just my money? But you can actually support with your prayers. I know if it's the only thing you can do, it will continue to open the doors that we need opened.
Yes.
You can,
come on now.
You can support, which is asking, hey, what's going on? What can I do? I guarantee you, you live in Queens. I guarantee you, you could experience the exact same thing this couple experienced or the sister experienced, reaching out to someone who just spoke Creole. I know we're in New York and people just probably just walk by and do their thing.
Yeah.
Take the time to just stop and say hello. Wow. You work with a West Indian.
Yeah.
You buy food from West Indians.
Yeah.
Wow. You were on the train with West
wow.
Indians. It's just a simple hello. Oh, where are you from? God will open any door. And I just look at the track of your life. Where did you come from? Maybe some of you came from the country like me, barefoot, walking to school barefoot sometimes, standing by the side of the road asking someone to plait my hair because everybody has gone to work and I can't go to school because my hair is not plaited. Some of us come from that, and it's still happening. And those kids actually need us. Who knew a barefoot little girl from Derriso, St. Lucia would be on this stage today talking about this, in this position? God brought me here. And so we can feel like we're not supposed to be here, but you are supposed to be right here, right now. You have a purpose. You have a time. So.
Amen. Why do I need to say anything? That was all we needed to hear right there. Man, Sam's amazing. I am grateful to be here. Yeah, I did not grow up in the Caribbean, grew up in Texas, but in our church in Atlanta, around 2007 is when I moved there. We didn't have any relationship with a church anywhere else. And so we just felt like, that doesn't seem right. Let's reach out. Let's try to find a church we can just connect with and partner with. And the church in Port of Spain, Trinidad and Tobago, they were struggling. They had a leader who had a full-time job, he and his wife, and they were struggling. They were burning out. It was challenging. And they were looking for help, and so I think God connected us. And so in 2010, we took a group down there, and they asked us specifically. They said, one of our major issues in the church here is that none of the children that have grown up in this church have ever made the decision to become a Christian. The parents were devastated. They questioned themselves. It was just a lot of discouragement. And so we decided, okay, well, if that's what you want, we're here to partner with you. So we brought some kids that had made that decision, that grew up in the church. We brought three of them that had decided to become Christians. And the highlight of that trip was when we put those three teenagers in front of the parents and said, these are the things that helped us, and these are the things that didn't help us. And so here I am, this evangelist guy, thinking I'm all that, ministry guy. But the most powerful time of that whole trip were those teenagers just sharing their heart. And those teenagers hanging out with the other teenagers in Trinidad and Tobago. And so that trip was in 2010, right? And so soon after the trip ended, we started getting phone calls. Hey, some of these teenagers are studying the Bible now. And sure enough, a few months after we left, multiple teenagers started becoming Christians in the church in Trinidad and Tobago. And the cool thing, we had a video, but one of the guys that became a Christian is the guy in the top right corner, Michael Cunningham. He was one of those teens in 2010. Okay, so now fast forward to 2 months ago. All right, my oldest child, we go back to Trinidad and Tobago. This time they said, we really need help because our COVID really killed our campus ministry in so many ways. And they're struggling. They don't have much faith. We couldn't even get on campus until this summer. Can you guys come and do something on campus? I ain't never done campus ministry a day in my life. I was baptized as a single dude. I don't even like campus ministry, if I want to be honest. And so it's like, all right, man. So I show up, University of West Indies, all right, 9:30 a.m., have a little Devo and a little huddle, and then just go out and share your faith. Have a Bible study at 1:30 in the campus center. We did that 5 days a week, and people were coming out over and over and over again. And we had we got over like 100 people's just contact information. And they set up about 30 Bible studies. And two of those guys right now are really close to becoming Christians, Justin and Josiah. So pray for them. Amen. But there's no substitute for that time on campus, and just being out there. And we didn't do anything unique and innovative. We prayed and we invited people to come and have a Bible study. That's not really creative, guys, but it works. And so their faith just grew. And one of the main things I wanted to share also is in 2010, the leader of the teen ministry, when we did that teen camp and all that teen stuff, they were Merlene and Nanino LaFleur. They were the ones leading the teens in 2010. Fast forward to today, they actually lead the whole church. All right? And so we've stayed in touch all those years, and we have a friendship. All right? It's a connection. And no matter what happens, Nanino and I, the LaFleurs and the Hickmans, we're going to be tight and we're going to be connected. In fact, my oldest daughter stayed at their house over this last trip, and she calls Nanino my Trinidad. And
And it was really cool because we had a brother from Atlanta that went and they let him preach the sermon, and he does a lot of work in Africa. His name is Mark Ottenweller. He married Lynn Beatty, who's lived here many years. And he was talking about his work in Africa and all the things that he's done to help orphans in Africa. And my daughter leans over to me while he's talking, and she's like, "Dad, I think Trinidad is like my Africa, you know? Like, this is where I want to give my heart, and I want to come every time, and I want to serve here." And I was like, "Wow, man, this is what it's all about, having a heart." And the thing is, I don't have just a heart for just Trinidad. I really have bought into the One Caribbean. You know what I mean? And so if there's a call from Suriname, if there's a call from Guyana, if there's a call from wherever, I hope that I can mobilize some people from the congregation where I am, and we can go and just serve and just lay our lives down and just love up on people, build the connections. And I believe that that can happen right here in Queens as well, all over New York. Y'all can go out too and help hurting people. So amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? It is always great to be back in New York.
Yeah.
It is, for those who don't know me, my name is Angel Martinez. I was baptized in 1988. Okay. With quite a few of you who are here this morning. And it's great to be here with you guys. And I just wanted to say, and it's been expressed, but I want to say it again, thank you. As one who was baptized, as one who used to give to special contribution here, as one who next year will be 30 years since that Sunday at the Javits where we were sent off. And on the receiving end, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I also, being Latino, tengo que decir a mi gente, ustedes saben que se le quiere muchísimo. Y le agradezco a Dios, gracias. Veo una cuanta gente que conozco por muchos años y mucho tiempo y todo. Mi gente se le quiere, se le agradece muchísimo. Y ustedes saben, tengo que cambiar en inglés porque si no los gringuitos van. Pero ustedes saben que lo quiero muchísimo, ¿verdad? Entonces, que Dios lo bendiga. I'm personal. So, since it is not the morning any longer, okay. I got verses. Just hold for two verses. May the Lord be with us. Open your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 51, please. The theme I was given this morning is the eyes will look to me and wait and hope for my arm. And obviously we chose this theme because of the islands, talking about Caribbean Sunday. But I want to talk a little bit about what is the context of what we're going to look at, these two verses. It was eight, but now it's two verses that we're going to look at this morning. So what is the context here? The context is that Prophet Isaiah is speaking to the Israelites during their captivity in Babylon. They had been in captivity somewhere between 60 to 70 years, or depending on who you speak to, 50 to 60 years. Why did this happen? Well, idolatry. The city of Jerusalem was captured. Tens of thousands of people were, Jewish people were exiled from Judah. And Isaiah, God, through Isaiah, he speaks to them, speaks to his people to give them hope and direction in their suffering, to let them know that he will deliver them from their enemies and take them home. And the message is, stay faithful, keep persevering. I am here. I hear you. It's a message that's not just for them, but it's a message for us who perhaps are going through challenging times. It's a message for us to encourage us to keep persevering, to keep going. Because we have a God who sees us, who loves us, and is for us. Isaiah chapter 51 says, listen to me. Just in case you don't notice, in that chapter, it's repeated three times. Sometimes we have a problem. So he says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When
and I blessed him and made him many. Point number one, and only point this morning, look to the rock. Look to the rock. I guess the mic.
I'm dropping, okay, so make sure I don't drop the mic. All right, here we go. Point number one, look to the rock. You know, the first thing he says to them, and I mentioned it earlier, he says, listen to me. He's speaking to his people. You who pursue righteousness, listen to me. The Lord here speaks to his people, but his people have had trouble listening to him. That's the reason why they found themselves in the situation that they were in, because as much as prophets that he had sent and people that he had sent over and over again, they were not listening. So three times in this chapter, as I said earlier, the exhortation is given, listen to me. You didn't do it the first time. Okay, listen to me now. And you know, you got to love that about God, because he constantly reaches out to us, constantly telling us, listen to me, hear me out. I love you. I want to help you out. But he's constantly telling us, listen to me. You know, the question for us this morning is, who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? We have a lot of voices competing for our attention, competing for our minds, competing for our hearts. But are we listening to and being most influenced by God and his word? Who are you listening to? Who are we listening to? Who most influences you? The way you think, the decisions you make. Who most influences you? You know, we need to be most influenced by God's word more than any man, more than any person, more than any podcast, more than any opinion, even more than the voices in your own head. Because sometimes we're like, I don't listen to anybody. I just listen to myself. Yeah. That's the problem. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to God? Because there's a lot of trouble and drama in this life that we can avoid if we just listened and heeded God's word. So that's the first thing he says there, listen to me. The second thing he says here is really cool, because he says, look to the rock from which you were cut. He's sending them back. He says, look to Abraham, your father. Look at him. And then he says, and to Sarah who bore you. You know, God counsels his people to look at his work in his people in the days past to give them hope in the present. He says, look at their faith. You think about Abraham, the father of faith. You know, I read in a book, and it says, that's funny that the scriptures call Abraham the father of faith, because he didn't have faith for a really long time, and he wasn't a father for a really long time. Isn't that ironic? Yet, the Bible calls him the father of faith. Why? Because of his perseverance. Because he took God at his word. Because of his obedience. Because he stumbled and messed up, but got up over and over and over again. Can some of us relate this morning, afternoon? About messing up, but yet you keep standing up over and over and over again. We keep persevering because we love God. We're jacked up. We got issues. You know it. I know it. But what do? We keep persevering. We keep getting up over and over again. Why? Because we love our God. And Abraham is an amazing example. I don't know about you. I love the underdogs of the Bible. I struggle with Paul and all those other guys. They were awesome. But I can relate to a Gideon. I can relate to a Moses. I can relate to Abraham. I can relate to a Peter. I love those guys. Because they're just as messed up as I am. And I said, if they can do it, then I can do it too. You know, the Bible says, when it talks about Abraham, in reference to him in Hebrews 11:8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. There was no Waze, no Google Maps, no nothing. I mean, yeah, I'm just, where are you going? Just go. None of us would go to a place that we didn't know where it was to go. But the Bible says that that was his faith. He went out not knowing where he was going. Hebrews 11 verse 12 says about him, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead. Holy Spirit, no joke in the way it describes Abraham. As good as dead. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. It says about Abraham, listen, look to him. Look how he persevered. Look how he stayed faithful. Yeah, he messed up, but look how he got up over and over again. And look what I did through him, through one man. Here's the nation of you all. So he says, look to him. He said, but don't only just look to Abraham. You got to look to Sarah too. Bible says about her in Hebrews 11, 11, it says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, that's being really nice. It's being really nice there. It says, was enabled to bear children. Why? Because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She held on to God's promise. More than her fears, more than her concerns, more than her insecurities, even more than her age. She held on to the promise of God. And he says to them, you know, look to them. Look to them. Look to Abraham. Look to Sarah. Look to Jacob. Look to Isaac. Look to all those heroes. Look to them and get faith for what you're going through right now. And you know, and God has put in our life people that we can look to in the scriptures, but even people that are right here that you know they've been through heck and back. And you look at them and you see, wow, they've been faithful. They love God and they inspire you. And they let you know that the goodness and the power of God, even today, 2023, exists. God calls them and calls us too to look to him and the men and the women who he has used and work through as an example of his power and faithfulness. He calls us. He says, listen to me. But then he also says to us, look to them. Look to Abraham. Look to those people. You got to ask yourself, how has God been faithful to you? How has God shown his faithfulness and his love to you? I think about my life and there's so many things. From the time I was 5 years old, I had acute appendicitis, and I was taken. I was rushed to the hospital. My parents were concerned. I was in a coma for 24 hours. And my dad, even today at 83 years old, when he explains the story, starts crying because he said, I thought you were going to die. At the age of 19, going to the Boston World Missions Conference, the last one. Some of you will remember that. It was my first big conference. And I was driving some sisters. Our brother had lent me his car to drive some sisters to a hotel. There was no hotels in the center of Boston. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And me and another brother, Charlie Smith, that some of you know, wound up in a car driving. I fell asleep behind the wheel on I-95, flew over three lanes and put a car under an 18-wheeler. We walked out of it without a scratch. Charlie hugged me and told me, bro, the Lord loves us. I remember my son, God's faithfulness, the picture that you saw, Joseph, my son, who's 9 years old. Luce and I were not able to have kids. We were both sickle cell trait carriers, and it was high risk. The process of my son's adoption, 7 years. 7 years. You would think, what? It was a lot of complications, a lot of situations, and at different points, I thought my son is going to walk out of our house. It's going to be taken out of our house. And yet I saw the faithfulness of God. And I'm sure you got your own stories that you can tell of how God has worked in you, in your life, and how he still keeps working. So I just want to encourage us this morning, look to the rock. Listen to him and look to him because he is faithful and he is great. God bless.